Praise God. For those who would like to support the ministry here, you can send your gifts to Pastor John at Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, and that's 16025. Shakora, Pennsylvania, C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. That's Post Office Box 67. And also we have links on the sjrchurch.org website and also on the sermonaudio.com page where we host our sermons. If you're interested in contributing, any amount would be gratefully received. God bless. Now, I one of the praises that I didn't lift up was, I got a new pair of shoes. I mean, brand new. Like, nobody else owned them before me. It's the first time in 20 years that I actually had a brand new pair of shoes. And I thank God for the folks that made that possible. You know, I've had a lot of friends throughout my life. I can't count them all. I couldn't tell you how many friends I've actually had. Could we get that fan turned down just a bit? Or maybe this one turned off? Thank you. Some of my friends have died. Some of my friends moved away. And some of my friends' paths have gone different ways than mine. So they're no longer in my life. Now, with social media, I've reconnected with some of my old friends. And I'm still acquainted with a few people that I knew as a child or a teenager or a young adult. One friend in particular came to mind the other day as I lay awake early in the morning, and I was preparing for this message. God was sort of downloading things to me. He was just giving me, here's where you're going. You know, it was maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. And I thought about this friend that was much older than me. He was probably 25, 30 years older than me. His name was Chester White. Chester was a great guy. He was a self-made man. In a time when it was very difficult for anyone to build their own house, in a time when it was difficult for anyone to start a small business, Chester White did both of those things as a young man. And I met Chester in 1984. He was selling doors. And I bought a door from him for the first house that I had bought. And we fast became friends. And when Chester would call, I'd drop whatever I was doing and take his call. And if he called to go somewhere or to do something, I quickly learned that that was always in my best interest to go along with whatever it was that he wanted to do, because somehow it benefited me, either in knowledge or in maybe getting some building materials for one of my many projects, or in some way or other. And we had many conversations about our faith, about God, about Christ. And we found there were some differences in what we'd been taught, but we both recognized that we were to love God completely and love our neighbor as ourself. On one occasion, Chester asked me to go to Rogers, Ohio, to a flea market. Big, huge, multi-acre flea market. I don't know how many acres it is, but it's a lot. And his brother Melvin came along. And Melvin was younger than Chester, but again, still much older than me. And we went through there. We were like family members. We were like teenagers. We weren't adults. We were just cutting up, just having a good time. Truly, didn't buy a thing, but we were just enjoying ourselves. Some time later, Melvin passed away, and whenever he did, oh, did I tell you that they were African Americans? No, I didn't mention that part. Anyway, before Melvin died, Chester was selling some drywall. It was big stack of drywall because the lumber yard had dragged the forklift forks against the edge of the drywall, and nobody would buy it for regular price that way. And Chester got them to sell him the whole stack, and he promised them that he would sell it out of their location to get it out of there. And Chester asked me to go with him, and I did. And when we were there, these young guys came to buy it, but they had a big truck and everything. They were all ready to take it. They'd rented a truck to get this drywall. When they saw Chester's skin color, they decided they didn't want that. And it was clear that it was because of the color of his skin. And so, as they were hemming and hawing and giving all these reasons why they couldn't buy that drywall, I put my arm around Chester and I said, "We got lots of buyers for that drywall, don't we, Uncle Chet?" You should have seen their faces. It was one of those power moments, because the Holy Spirit spoke through me. Bam! Knocked them down. And they did take the drywall. But when his brother Melvin died, at the funeral, I was sitting in one of the pews, and they said, "Any ministers here would like to say anything, please, you know, come forward." So I turned to Chester's son-in-law, and I said, "Do you think they'd mind if I said something? Because this is a congregation of predominantly African-American. There might have been one other folk like me, pale skin." And he said, no, you go ahead, John." So I put my hand up kind of sheepishly because the Lord had given me something to say. And I got up in front of the congregation. This is all relevant, okay? I don't usually tell stories. Anybody who knows me knows I don't, but this is relevant. And I could feel kind of a little tension, you know? All the black folks were looking at me, wondering what this white guy was going to say, you know? And I just said, now remember, this is Chester White and Melvin White. And I said, "I'm from the white side of the family." And everybody, it just lightened the tone. Everybody thought, you know, this guy's all right. And I simply told that story about us cutting up at the Rogers place. And I might have said some other things, I don't remember. But I just told him what a nice guy Mel was. He was always a good guy to me. He was my friend. He was my friend, just like Chester was my friend. And I would do anything. If those guys called and wanted something, I would do anything. They helped me plaster a foundation one time. They taught me how. And they did the work with me as they showed me how to do it. No charge. They were my friends. And I wanted to do whatever I could for them. I wanted to do whatever they wanted me to do. Because they were my friends. I was in my 30s. Those guys were at least in their 60s, maybe older. And my friend Chester went to glory a few years ago, and I sure miss him. I really do. I miss him, and I thought about that as I was preparing this message. The disciples who walked with Jesus and learned from Jesus, they witnessed his death and his burial. And I'm sure they thought that was the end of the world for them. But then he rose from the grave. And then he left again. But he said he'll be back. And no doubt for the rest of their lives, they lived their lives just anticipating his return. That they could spend more time with their friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's why I chose that hymn. And fortunately, Rosalie knew it, so she could play along. For those of you who don't know, Rosalie's blind, and she tickles the keys from memory. And if I could see my friend, I wouldn't put his call on hold, and I wouldn't let it go to voicemail. I'd take it. And if Christ himself came into this room, would any of us not, if he said, "Come here, follow me," would you all just sit there or would you get up and go where he said to go? Think about it like that. Follow me. That's what he said. Follow me. He called people to literally travel with him at that time. Now, obviously, we can't literally travel with him. He's not physically here. But by the Spirit of God, we have the ability to follow him. He chose individual men to walk with him. He chose individual men and women to teach. And those women, the majority of the women, were the ones that supported him financially. They're the ones that helped his ministry to go on for the 3+ years that he was on the earth, preaching and teaching. Some of those disciples wrote about their experiences, and some of those writings exist to this day, or some fragments of them, to show that what we have is accurate. The enemy and the ravages of time tried to destroy those writings, but they are still here with us. We've assembled them into this book that we call the Bible. We have it as our guide. It's our rule of faith. You know, 12 years ago, the Lord brought me to this building. It was 12 years ago. It was August 5th, 2007. God brought me here. And Jesus said, come here. Follow me. Here's where I want you to be. And when I first stepped into that pulpit, it was three steps high. We've recently changed it, and I praise God for that. But when I first stepped in there, I said, this is too high, Lord. It didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel right at all. It felt like I was being elevated above the people. And I'm no different than you, folks. I am a man like any man in this room. And I just simply follow Him. 15, 16 years ago, I left my home in Pittsburgh, where I had been serving, but in a part-time position, for full-time ministry. Jesus said, come here, follow me. And I said, but Lord, I've got this house I got to finish. I've got all this work to do. Come here, follow me. I've got my family here, Lord. I can't leave my family. I'm not talking about my wife and children. They came along. My wife thought I was crazy. She really did. She said, how are we going to support ourselves? I said, God will take care of us. Isn't that right? She can hear me downstairs, you know. But when I came here, it was a whole different congregation. Where none of you were here. And that's okay with me. I trust that God has a plan in all of that. I would like to see all of the folks, of course many of them went on to be with the Lord, but I'd like to see all the folks who were here in 2007 be here today. I'm not asking for a celebration. But I'm letting you know, when I preach on following Christ, I know what I'm preaching. I do it. And so I'm not asking you to do something that I am not willing to do. But that house is still unfinished, by the way. A couple guys went down to look at it and said, well, maybe we can help you get this done, or whatever. Half of the house is rented, half of it's empty. Jesus said, come, follow me. And the message that I brought on August 5th, 2007 was titled, Whithersoever Thou Goest. And it was based on a text where a certain man came to Jesus and he says, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest, Lord. And that whithersoever, that old English term, I wanted to know, what did that really mean? Whithersoever. It's more than wherever. And so I looked it up. I studied it. And it's characterized by absolute unconditional commitment. And there's three characteristics of that. Uncertainty, laying aside the cares of this life and setting our mind on things above, and no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. And what do we say? No turning back. No turning back. When I first stepped into the pulpit in this building, I told the Lord and I told the congregation, I'll never leave. I'll stay as long as the Lord wants me here. No matter what, I'll stay. I'm committed to Him. If that's what He wants, because I don't have any aspirations to do anything but stay in the center of His will, and that's what I want for each of you. I want each of you to know His will and to live it in your lives. Now, if you will, open your Bible to Luke's gospel record, Luke chapter 9. You'll find that on page 1602 there in the Bibles there in your seats. Page 1602 in those Bibles. Luke chapter 9. We'll begin with verse 57. And we'll read through verse 62. Again, that's page 1602 in those Bibles there in your seats. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. And before we go there, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would take a hold of my lips and my tongue, Lord. Use me to your glory. Give me unction to speak and to preach, to teach, Lord, to give a message that each one can take home and apply to their own lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to turn our Bibles over to the 14th chapter of Luke, just a few pages over, and we'll begin at verse 15. In the Pew Bibles, that is on page 1613. We're going to begin at verse 15 because it ties right in with what he just said, but it expands it a little bit. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But when they all with one accord began to make excuses, the first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I ask that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You know, the first time that we hear Jesus say, follow me, is in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. He ran into some fishermen on the beach. There were these guys, Peter, his name was Simon at that time. He's later called Peter. And his brother. And then also these other two fishermen. He said to the first two, hey, come on and follow me. And they put their nets down. They walked away from the boat, and they started following him. And then the other two guys, they're with their dad in the boat, and they're fishing. They're on the beach. And he says, you, come here, follow me. They left their nets, left their boat, left their dad, and went and followed him. They left everything. Matthew and Luke record another time when our Lord invited someone to follow him, but they gave an excuse. They had to bury their dad. We just read that. Got to bury our dad. And what was his response? Let the dead bury their dead. Now, in our touchy-feely world, we'd say, oh, yeah, that's a pretty nasty thing to say, isn't it? Let the dead bury the dead. Where's his compassion? I thought Jesus was a love. He was full of love. What happened to that? Let the dead bury the dead. You don't hear what he's saying. It's obscured. If we let our own emotions get in the way, we're not going to hear what he's saying. He's saying, don't let anything get in the way of following me. That's the real message here. When I heard and answered his call to follow him to Shakur, I was like those fishermen. I had reason to say no. I had a boat. You know, I had my way of earning a living. I walked away from it, just like they did. Now, he's not telling everybody to leave their profession. Don't get me wrong. I know that's not what he's saying. But if it's getting in the way of you doing what he wants you to do, you got to consider it. He said to me very clearly, now's the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I had my life in Pittsburgh. I had my family. I had to tend to. I had my means of sustaining us. I had that unfinished house project that's still unfinished. 15 years it's been sitting. The Lord said, in his timing. Now, I could have just said, nah, sorry, can't do it. I did that before. I ran from the Lord for years. I did not want to be a preacher. There was no way I wanted to be a preacher. I was not going to be a preacher. I put my foot down, buddy. I'll tell you right now, there's no way you weren't going to get me. Yeah, we see how that turned out for me, right? Right? Yeah. Here I stand. Like those young men on the beach, I followed him. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back or blow my own horn or beat my own drum or whatever thing that people say. I'm saying it because it's real. And I know what I'm talking about. When I preach this message, I know this message because I live it. The gospel records reveal his call to all of his early disciples was the same. Come, follow me. And that's the same message all through time. It's not a new message. It's the same message. It's the one that he came preaching. He was preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn from your sin. Come into the presence of the living God because there can be no darkness in his presence. Regardless of their background or their life's work, the call was the same. Come and follow me. And what did they say? No! No, no, they said, sure. They dropped what they were doing. They dropped everything and they went and followed him. And we know because after he died, before he was resurrected, Peter went back to the boat. Peter went back. He said, well, I guess that's over. We got to go back to where we came from. And where did he find them? Think about the when he was on the shore roasting some fish. And the guys show up. He says, come on, I have something with me. They're like, oh, Lord. Sure, that's okay. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded his instruction on what it means to follow him. Anyone who wants to follow him are told, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. And Luke adds one little detail that the others left out. Daily. Do it daily. Every day. Not just Sunday. Okay? Not just for an hour, or if we're here, sometimes an hour and a half. On Sunday. No, it's every day. You pick up your cross. And what's that mean? You sacrifice your life. You sacrifice everything that you want for what he wants. And that's not always easy. You think it was easy for me to leave an unfinished house 15 years ago and to, when I go there, see that it's still unfinished? No, it's not easy. But God has a timing, and sometimes what we think is right isn't right in his timing. Sacrifice anything that gets in the way of following him daily. Say yes to him daily. Yes, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will be who you want me to be. I will say what you want me to say. Say yes to him. The title of the series of messages is saying no to Jesus. There's a lot of people saying, no, no, I'm not going there. Oh, no, no. Follow you? Oh, where you're going isn't where I want to go, Lord. Is that you, Lord? Is that really you? Well, for all who follow him, We have to sacrifice anything that gets in the way. And that's the main idea of those passages that we read. Don't let those things get in the way of following Him. You conduct your business as you must throughout your day-to-day life, but you don't let it get in the way. It's like Connie was saying earlier about having an opportunity to pray with somebody for their horse. And some people say, oh, you can't pray for horses. Well, you know what? I've prayed for animals, and I've seen miraculous results. Don't tell me. God created those animals, and I know that He'll take care of them. For some people, the sacrifice they have to make is their job. I did. I had to. God said to. So I did. But not everybody. For others, it's their hobbies. Sometimes a hobby gets in the way. For others, it's leisure activities. Things that they do just for enjoyment. But they're getting in the way of following Him. But for all of us who follow Him, sin is to be our daily sacrifice. We're to sacrifice that sin. Give it up. Turn away from it daily. And if we slip, we make that error, we turn to Him. God, I'm sorry. Help me not to do that again. That's the picking up of the cross daily. If you love Him, say yes to following wherever He leads, and it's always out of sin, not into it. He never leads us to stay in sin. He leads us out of it. He leads us out of temptation. We pray that. Lead us out of temptation. How do we say it? Lead us not into temptation. Our Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's very clear. If you love me, you'll do as He taught and He instructed. That's what He's saying. He said, follow me. And that implies the command to follow what He taught. That's what I was telling the children. Sure, we're following Him, but we're not physically following Him. Our Heavenly Father authorized that one we call Jesus to teach people on earth how to follow Him. And that invitation to follow conveys His hope of our obedience. He said to those guys on the beach, hey, follow me. Do you think He didn't hope they would? Do you think there was no expectation involved? Of course there's expectation. He expects us to do what it is that He calls us to do as His followers. Our obedience is evidence of our following. We obey Him as we follow Him. It's written in the first letter of John, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Those who say, I know Him and do not keep His commandments are liars and the truth is not in them. John said that. Not me. The Apostle John. The one who leaned upon Christ's breast. The one who was the closest. The one that the Lord loved the most according to the Scripture. And that's why I say our obedience shows our love for our Creator. The one that we call Jesus was fully empowered to deliver the message of following Him and how God wants us to follow Him. His way is a narrow way. And where does that way lead? To everlasting life. He wants you and me to follow Him wholeheartedly. He doesn't want our lives getting in the way because it's so easy. I have seen people who have allowed their lives to get in the way, and then the next thing you know, they're no longer following Him. And some people, like a recent pastor of a mega church, renounced their faith because their life got in the way. There's no other explanation for that. It walked away. And then I hear about schools that are turning from Christ. Schools, religious education, institutions turning from Christ. And how does that happen? Except that the world comes crashing in and they say, I'm going to choose the world. We're going to go with what the world has to offer instead of what Jesus has to offer. Because after all, you got to wait for what He has to offer, everlasting life. Yeah, right. Okay. Sure there is. And you get to the place where you don't believe. I've seen people do it. That's why I preach about it. We have to stop letting things get in the way of truly following Him. The Scripture tells us that there's going to come a time whenever they heap to themselves teachers, it'll tickle their ears. Give them what they want to hear. instead of the true Word of God. Because they're going to turn from the truth. It's not that we're not to care about our loved ones. It's not that we're not to care about our jobs. It's not that we're not to care about our family or our friends or the possessions that God has allowed us to accumulate. It's not that we're not to care about those, but we're not to let them get in the way of following Him. But there's too many who call themselves Christians who aren't following, they're not honestly following where He leads. They've got Jesus in a box, or they've got Him in a compartment. They've compartmentalized their life, okay? They got the Jesus compartment. And when it's convenient or appropriate, they let Him out. Or they get into that special Jesus place. You know, some people call it a church. This is a building. This is a room. It's a sanctuary unto God. It is a house of worship unto God. But this is not the church. This is the church. You all, and yours truly, we are the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. There's a song that it's more of a children's song. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together all around the world, everywhere you go. Yes, we're the church together. Now, people think a building, that's the box, you know, the Jesus box, the place where we go to get Jesus, or the place that we go to follow Jesus, or the place that we go to forget all that. You got to get that out of your head. He's in your heart. He's going to lead you if you follow and if you don't allow other things to crowd Him out. Too many forget that He said whoever claims to follow Him but keeps looking back to the old life's worthless to God's kingdom. He said whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back, it's not worth it. And have I been tempted? Let me tell you, folks, over the last 15 years, I have been tempted. When Chris and I went down there about 3 years ago to start working on the place, I started feeling like, well, I could do this. I could get this done. I started feeling great. And life changed. The Lord said, nope, you're not ready. He pulled us out of there. I said, oh, Lord, really? I just want to see it finished. At least in my lifetime. I don't want to be looking down from heaven and say, oh. It's written that His people are like a bride waiting to be united with their bridegroom. A wedding feast is prepared. It's a great celebration, greater than any celebration we've ever had on earth. We'll never see another celebration like the one that's prepared for the followers of Christ. And He's bidding you and me to follow Him to that feast. He's calling, come, for all things are now ready. Say yes. Don't be like those who make excuses. Well, I got to take care of my house, Lord. I got to take care of my job. I got to bury my dad. I got to. No. Say yes, Lord. I'll follow whithersoever Thou goest. The houses, the lands, the cars, the clothes, and the other possessions that we have, they're all going to go away. He's sending His servants into the streets. He's inviting the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind, and He's saying, come, follow Me. Follow Me to that dinner. Follow Me to that celebration. He's sending His servants out to invite them. The highways, the hedges, He's compelling them to come in that His house may be filled. Don't love your family members more than Him. Don't love your job more than Him. Don't love your possessions more than Him. Don't love all that stuff of this world more than Him. Whoever does not bear His cross and follow Him cannot be His disciple. That's what He said. Not me. I always tell you, I'm like the mailman. I deliver the mail. Here it is. Here's a message from the Lord. Now, you can take it and read it. You can hold on to it, you can tear it up, you can throw it away, do whatever you want with it, but I've delivered the mail. Count the cost of true, authentic discipleship. What does it mean? What does it look like to you? What does it look like to Him who's calling you? Let go of everything that gets in the way. The time is short, folks. I'm convinced of that. I'm no prophet. I can't tell you when He's coming back, but I'll tell you what, I know He is. And He says it's going to get worse and worse until He does. And there's no doubt to me that everybody who hears this message has a foundation. It's either started, it's being built, or it has been built. So let Him build upon that. Let Him build upon that foundation that He has created within you already, and allow Him to build that house that He calls His, the church. Let Him turn you into an authentic, sold out follower of Christ. Don't be one that says, I'll follow wherever you go, but let me take care of my business first. My life, my family, my job, or my whatever gets in the way. Say no to that stuff. Remember, He said, whoever refuses to forsake everything that gets in the way can't be His disciple. He said that. That's what He said. He also said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serves me, him my Father will honor. You serve Him, God honors that. Almighty God will honor your service, no matter what it is that He calls you to, no matter what it is that He calls you out of, no matter how He has you sacrifice for Him. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember that if you love Him, you will obey His commandments. That's what He said, not me. I'm just passing on the message. So I say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Him. It really is better for you to say yes to Him than to say no. And as I was preparing this wrap-up, I said, well, was He commanding us to follow Him? Was He inviting us to follow Him? And it occurred to me that it's both. Because the invitation comes. You answer the invitation. Yes, I'll follow You, Lord. Wherever You go, I'm going to follow You. And He says, okay, here's how you follow Me. He gives you instructions for how to follow You. Then you've got that choice. Well, I really want to follow Him. Because He's telling me how. Now, the way He's telling me to do it isn't really comfortable for me. So I have to say it's both. It's an invitation and a command. Come, follow Me. And then He's saying, come and do what it is that I tell you to do. And do you think maybe He's calling you to follow Him more closely right now? Not just because you heard this message, but somehow in your life you've been hearing Him and maybe you've been squelching that voice a little bit. Maybe you've been busy with your job. Maybe you've been busy with your family. Maybe you've been busy with your stuff. And maybe He's been saying, John, John, or whatever your name is. I'm picking on me. I don't want to pick on you. Can you hear Him calling you to follow Him more closely? Say yes. Say yes by doing what He's asking you to do. Say yes by breaking free from everything that gets in the way. Follow as He instructed. Say no to being a follower in word only. I'm a follower of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. But I'm not going to do whatever He says. There's so many people today that are saying they're followers of Jesus, but they're not following Jesus. I look at what the Word says, how it means to follow, what it means. They're not doing it. Well, are you really a follower of Jesus, or are you a follower of your made-up Jesus, some other Jesus, the Jesus that's not portrayed in the book that we call the Bible? Say no to that. Say yes to following the real Almighty God's Son who came to earth, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Follow Him. Break free from everything that gets in the way of following as He instructed. Say no to acting like a follower while going your own way instead of His. Say yes to following Him His way. Say no to being a pretender. Say no to being an actor. Because you remember last week, if you were here, those are hypocrites. Say yes to being one who follows wherever He leads without knowing the way. You don't have a map. You don't have a compass. He's not giving you advance notice of every step. You got to keep an eye on Him. He'll lead you. And how do you keep an eye on Him if you don't have communication with Him? You've got to maintain that communication. That's why prayer precedes following for us as those who have given our lives over to Him already. Those who say yes to Yeshua accept His teaching on following Him just like they accept His teaching on everything else. Say yes. Following Him as He instructed makes you His. So that's what He said. Those who love Me keep My commandments. Say yes to His way being your way. Say yes and set aside anything that's contrary to His way of following. Say yes to God's Messiah. No holds barred. No, don't hold on to that pocket full of whatever it is that He's telling you to get rid of. All right? Don't hold on to whatever He says is getting in the way. Sell out. No resistance. He said, My sheep hear My voice and I know them and they follow Me. As He said, follow Me. So I tell you, like I wrap up every one of the messages in this series, hear what He has to say and do it. Follow Him. Not yourself, not your heart, not your will, not your way. Follow Him. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to follow You. Help us to follow Your Messiah, Your Savior, Your Son. Help us, Father. We need Your help. Help us to obey Your command to stop letting things get in the way. Help us to walk with our friend wherever he wants us to go. Help us to answer that call. Help us to heed his instructions. Help us to say yes to following him as he instructed. Help us to set aside anything contrary to his way of following. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into following him. And help us, Lord, to follow regardless of whether others do or do not. Help us to say yes, no holds barred, no resistance. Let us hear what he has to say and help us to do it, I pray, in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. And now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 398. Another one, unfortunately, that Rosalie has got to, she's so gracious. She said, it's all right, Pastor, you can play it on the computer. Number 398. Follow on. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing number 398.